Let's get this Father's Day off to a good start. I'd like to have all of our dads and grandfathers and father figures please stand, gentlemen. We're going to give you a blessing on this Father's Day morning. You sure need it, and boy, do you deserve it. Let us pray. Lord, all-powerful God and Father, we ask your blessing upon all fathers and grandfathers, living and deceased, those here present, all the fathers of Queen's Parish. As a loving Father, you gave us life. As a merciful Father, you gave us your Son, that we might have the promise of eternal life. As an example, you gave us Saint Joseph to be a patron for all fathers. We praise you, Lord, for the many sacrifices our fathers have made and do make for us, the long hours they work, the good example they give, the guidance they provide. Until that day when we are all united together again in your kingdom, may fathers of families continue to be leaders in faith, helping us to meet the many challenges we face in life. May your fullest blessing come upon every father and every family in the world. May everything we do this day and always give you glory and honor. And may Almighty God bless you on this Father's Day, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congratulations, gentlemen. Let's hear it for them. People keep wishing me a happy Father's Day, and I said, I think I'm the only father in here that never changed a diaper, and then some fathers corrected me on that. And then some of their wives corrected me about that, so somehow they disappear. Fourth chapter of Mark. It's the shortest gospel, so Jesus hits the ground running. Mark doesn't tell us about Jesus' birth. He starts with Jesus 30 years old, his baptism, the beginning of his public ministry, and then he's off like a rocket, teaching, preaching, and healing, going all around Israel and Judah and up to Galilee and back to Jerusalem and Nazareth, giving sermons and healing all kinds of people along the way. The demand was great. And here in the fourth chapter of Mark, we see both Jesus' divinity and humanity on full display. All throughout the Gospels, we see evidence that Jesus is God, as he has power unlike any other on this earth. But once in a while, we catch a glimpse of the human side of the Christ, who at all times and everywhere, when he was in the flesh, was fully human and fully divine. We see Jesus' divinity when he is able to raise the dead, multiply loaves and fishes, turn water into wine and wine into his blood. But when it comes to humanity, we have to look a little bit deeper. We see Jesus' humanity when he was a baby and need to be cared for by Mary and Joseph, just as we were once cradled in the arms of our parents. We see Jesus' humanity when he felt human sorrow and human grief over the loss of a loved one. In John chapter 11, his best friend, Lazarus, whom he loved like a brother, dies unexpectedly, and Jesus wept. When Jesus looked upon Jerusalem, just before he went there on Palm Sunday, he looked at the temple and he wept. Why? Because he knew it was going to be destroyed, and that made him very sad. We see Jesus on the cross, John chapter 19, verse 28. He's thirsty, and yet he refuses the gall, the wine mixed with vinegar that's offered to him. We find Jesus angry in John chapter 2 when he sees they've turned his father's house into a marketplace, and he throws the money changers out of the temple. But today, in Mark chapter 4, we find Jesus, after a long day's effort, being as tired and exhausted as we might be after a long day. And that is why, as they're crossing the Sea of Galilee to get to the other side so he can continue preaching and teaching there, he is asleep, and he's in a very deep sleep. And that is why, when that sudden storm comes upon those boats going across the lake in the dark of that night, the apostles, they are terrified, they think they're dying. But Jesus, those waves are like a lullaby, rocking him into a deeper and deeper sleep. Those waves were tall. Peter's boat is small. And thus it was, as water is washing over the sides and the boat is getting lower and lower in the water, they're pretty sure they're going down. And Jesus doesn't seem to be bothered by this at all. And that's why they have to shake Jesus to wake Jesus, to see if he even cares that they're going down and that they're about to die. And then Jesus said just three words. Quiet, be still. Now he who showed the humanity with his exhaustion now shows his divinity with his power, as it is as if he flips a switch, because all of a sudden those waves and those winds are gone and it is a flat calm and the boat comes to rest along with all the other boats that were going with them to the other side of the lake. But then Jesus has a question for those apostles. Why are you terrified? Why are you so afraid? Do you not yet have faith? Up until this point in the gospel, Those apostles have been with Jesus to see many miracles. It's the early days, but he has already unleashed his mighty power. They have watched as he cast out a demon. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. He cleansed a leper. He made a paralyzed man to move again, restored a withered hand. All these things that no man can do, Jesus can do. He was demonstrating a power that quite literally is out of this world. It comes from above. And yet those are miracles that happened for other people. That was Jesus dealing with other people's problems. And yet when the apostles find themselves in a tight spot, when they need the miracle, their faith seems to escape them. The way Mark writes the story, it says Jesus was speaking to the waves and to the weather, "Quiet, be still." I think Jesus was saying that to the apostles. That is proven in Matthew's account of this same story. In the middle of the 14th chapter of Matthew, Jesus is out there and he says to the apostles, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Either way, quiet, be still, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Jesus wanted those apostles to have not just the fair weather faith, but to keep their faith in the midst of the storm. Mark's gospel is the oldest, as I said. He was writing it 40 years after Jesus died and rose from the dead. And those newly baptized Christians who were hearing these words for the first time, they needed desperately to take courage, to be not afraid, to be quiet, to be still, because they found themselves adrift on the storms of life. It was the year 70 AD. There was an insurrection within Israel and Judah, rising up against the oppressions of the Roman Empire, who by that time had occupied those lands for 150 years and treated those people as servants and slaves. Well, that was like throwing sand at the wind, because Rome was so much more powerful. And so they sent all the legions from the capital to defeat this insurrection. Their homes were destroyed. The temple was destroyed. The people were dispersed. They were living in tatters, Jews and Christians alike being killed left and right. They were up against it. Mark was using this gospel message to encourage them to keep the faith and to free them from the fears of death, because Jesus is the resurrection. And once we believe that, once we believe that Jesus has power even over death, once we're freed from the fear of dying, then there's really not much else to be afraid of. And yet we spend so much of our life being afraid, and so much of our time, like the apostles, asking Jesus, "Where are you? Do you not care? Why don't you help me? I'm dying. My spouse is dying. I've lost a child. My bills are too high. My wages are too low. My marriage is failing. My health is failing. There's problems in our country. There's problems in our community. My kids don't go to church anymore. Lord, where are you? Don't you care that we're perishing?" Jesus has the same thing for us that he said to the apostles. Quiet, be still, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. He wants our faith to be at the forefront, and he doesn't want it to be the fair weather faith, but rather that faith that sustains us in the storm, anchored in the cross, trusting in Jesus to bring us across the stormy seas of life to the safe harbors of heaven. We have fears about the past. We have fears about the future. We have fears about what's going to happen next, and fears about what just happened a moment ago. But Jesus, in all those circumstances, wants us to find our faith and to put it in him and on his cross, that he might lead us across all the difficulties and the darkness that we face, all the sins that we seem unable to confront, all the temptations that we seem unable to resist. Because when we place our trust in him, when we get into that boat, we will never sink. We will never fall. We will never fail, because he will raise us up.